Well, those of you who attended the Michael Meeks talk or who got a proxy of the Michael Meeks talk later on when he realized that we hadn't attended his talk probably understand why I've chosen this particular title. There exist lots of other office applications out there, office projects. Lots of them are now open and free. So the question comes up, why do we still bother working on GNU Merik? Well, first let me just give you a brief history of it. We're almost 5 years old now. I'll probably do some small announcements or something, try and generate a little interest in the project on July the 2nd when it hits. I actually managed to go and pull up the original CVS commits that Miguel made of some really, really bogus code and talked with him about why did he bother starting GNU Merik in the first place, and it became clear that his goal really had absolutely nothing to do with spreadsheets. That was kind of a side benefit. He really needed a real application that didn't already have a project out there so he could test GNOME with it. A little while later on, I had spent most of my life playing proctologist to all manner of spreadsheet, proprietary, non-proprietary, sick, and needed a decent spreadsheet, and looked at GNU Merik and thought, okay, cool, this is something I can have fun with. And my goal was really very different from Miguel. I want to build the spreadsheet that I need to get my work done. And that means building a real spreadsheet platform that's going to scale up to large data sizes, a platform that's going to be extensible so that people who have needs different than mine can add it in neat and tidy, and something that's going to be maintainable and expandable. So things are moving along pretty nicely. We managed to make our initial deadline, and before the end of 2001, we released 1.0, and that was pretty good. We've actually only had to do like 13 point releases since then, all fixing sort of relatively corner case bugs. I haven't had to give out too much beer on that side, because there is still a bug bounty, so if you can crash GNU Merik 1.0, you get a beverage of choice. The bounty is intact. And we promised the Red Hat folks, specifically Jonathan, I said, I'm not going to be like the GIMP. I'm going to do a quick 6-month port to GTK, no new features. It's going to be out the door. You won't even notice it. It's getting on. We're well past my most pessimistic deadline of why it still exists. We're past it by a good 6 months now. And we haven't even hit feature freeze yet. So where did all the time go? Number one. In all the previous GuadX, or at least the last two, I regularly meet with the other Office app members and say, we need to make GNOME Office an office. And we all say, yep, that's a really good thing. And then we all go home and proceed to continue coding on our own applications. So this time I said, screw it, I'm going to put my fingers where my mouth is and I'm going to write some code. Went off, took a few months, and what started off as just a way to export large Olay files. Olay is it's like tar, effectively, for Microsoft. And they have a really odd little format inside their little file system inside a file that changes radically when you start getting above 6.8 megabytes. Well, there was a bug in GNU Merik that if you did something just the right way, you managed to generate some really big Excel files very easily. So I needed to fix it. Looked at the libolay2 code and discovered that it was really scary, completely unmaintainable, and not something I wanted to play with. Indeed, I really had no idea what the hell it was doing in the first place, so I had to go back, basically from scratch, figure out what the Olay format was, searching through a couple of different sources, and started writing a new Olay wrapper. But while I was there, I noticed that, it makes kind of sense to just expand that not all that far and turn that into a slightly more general and abstract framework to do document type I.O. GNOME VFS is a nice tool. K.I.O. and its like are nice things, but they're all really designed for things where you're reading chunks of stuff or potentially reading from streams of unknown size or trying to pull things over networks in blobs. People doing document-centric development really want to take a large blob of stuff, suck it all in, use it. It's nice to be able to pull in, not pull in chunks you don't need, but the core of most document applications, if you look inside the zip file that is an OpenOffice file, there's a blob of XML and you need to read it. If you look inside an Excel file, there's a blob of bizarre binary crap, but you have to suck it all in. There's just no skipping bits. And I wanted an interface that would let me just pull it all in and spew it all out. and do it in a nice general fashion so that I can do gzip files inside zips that were over a network somewhere and bundle that up neatly. Once that was in place, it was really easy to add native zip support. And Dom threw in bzip2 wrappers for things. Other people have tacked on compile time optional additional libraries that will tack in Bonobo streams, GNOME VFS streams. So the core of glib itself is actually very lightweight. It's just a thin layer on top of glib. It throws in libxml, it throws in zlib, bzip, libbzip2, the things that you would expect anything to use. And it keeps the GNOME stuff at a little bit of hand's length in a separate library. So it's in a separate library so that there's no worries that do you have the Bonobo version of the library or the non-Bonobo version of the library? It's just, you can have both, and if you want the other one, you have to link to the other one, and that is just fine. But the core of the library is nice and lightweight, and it's now getting sucked into any number of other projects. We started with Gnumeric, where I just converted all of our file I/O plugins to use it. Dom followed on pretty quickly, using it for the doc importer, and now it's being used in the WordPerfect filter, and probably a couple others, I think.
OpenOffice,
StarWriter, just a lot of them. And over time, I think you mentioned that in the next version, you're basically going to just convert all of the things. It makes life very much simpler in a lot of cases, especially for things like transparent clipboard support, where as soon as we finished the OpenOffice importer, or at least got it in place in Gnumeric, we instantly had clipboard support for it, because one of the types that they exported was their own file format on the clipboard. So it just transparently arrived. Another nice thing about the small number of dependencies in the library is that it's actually getting adopted in places that normally are fairly averse to glib and anything with a G in it. So we got it past the Abbey word anti-G stream of folk, but we surprisingly, through libwv, and probably directly into it soon, got into KOffice. And I've heard that it's even going into OO in the WordPerfect filter. And it seems like... Yeah. So it seems like over time, it gives us a nice place where at least we have one library now that's common to all the Office applications. It gives us a place to start putting some of the code that we really should all have been sharing in the first place. The next delay was less planned. We used Guppy over Bonobo for graphs in 1.0, and that was really very much a legacy of, this was a GNOME 1.4 application, and Bonobo was the future. Then we used it and discovered that it made my life hell. After decimating 2 years of wasted time trying to build it, we finally managed to get something that worked. And it basically boiled down to having the most minimal possible interface, which consisted of take an XML blob, send it over Bonobo, have it display something, send the blob back. This, of course, made for a really miserable development experience. I managed to debug it. I think John Trowbridge managed to get it running a couple of times and was able to see what crack I was smoking. Most other people just didn't bother. It was unclear whether it was the XML parser in Gnumeric that was crashing, whether it was sending bad XML to Guppy and its parser was crashing, or whether it was a Guppy problem or a Bonobo display problem. And you were never really sure if you were connecting to the right Bonobo application, and it just made a mess of things. So that slowed things down a lot. And then there's the added benefit of, John Trowbridge, if you could please stand up, you are too smart for my health. This man has spent years studying the issue of how to build a good charting interface, and he built up vast swaths of experience and had designed an extremely intricate and elaborate arrangement for building it, and I had no clue how 90% of it worked, and could definitely not debug it. It boiled down in a lot of cases to the layout engine would be an overspecified set of linear equations. Figuring out where the overspecification was a dark art. And then things got even worse. I nagged John for a number of months saying, so how's the GTK2 port going along? And he'd say, oh, it's going, I'll work on it really, really soon now. And John was getting progressively more and more fed up with me nagging at him. So come September, he's basically threw in the towel for a bit and said, well, it's not so interesting to me anymore. I'd rather be hacking on some other stuff. would you like to play with it or look around? So I did. I went off looking around, tried to evaluate what other charting frameworks there were out there. I looked at Guppy and thought, well, a lot of really neat ideas in here, but I can't really use them without understanding why this whole pile of other ideas are probably neat but are beyond my comprehension at this stage. So then I looked at the next logical choice, which was GTK Extras and GTK Extras 2, which is the library behind SciGraphica. And it just, it was a nice try. He had done a good job for what he was trying to do, but the chart types didn't really map very nicely to the Microsoft style of things. And I really needed to be able to, everything I do within Gnumeric is very much predicated on being able to at least provide a superset of Excel, which means that I have to have something of a feature parity, and to simplify my development, I need to have similar structures to Excel so that I don't have to do too much mapping to and fro as things come in and out. Then I looked at some of the other suggestions, and there was R, which is this massive and beautiful statistical framework that we're already borrowing big chunks of code from, but they were just in the middle of starting a major rewrite of their charting engine, and it wasn't going to be ready anywhere near in time to get a release out. And actually, John Gill, I don't know if he's here, had pointed out Chaco, a Python-based charting initiative that also looked really sweet. But unfortunately, I was already really late with Gnumeric 1.2, and I wanted to get the thing out, and I just couldn't wait another year and a half or two, or more likely three, given the way open source tends to work, for these things to come out. Then there were plenty of other frameworks. It was interesting. I would love to figure out how things worked in OpenOffice. You seem to render to a 3D scene description language that then renders from there, and you have all sorts of crack-ridden interfaces on that. The notion of having to specify a radiosity algorithm to do a three-dimensional bar chart struck me as really, really over the top. And then there were a whole pile of libraries that just sucked. There was no real point. People had done not even the initial 50%. They had done the 20% solution that had popped up a bar chart, and that was enough. Eventually sat down after being scared witless for a few months and wrote a new one. It took a few months, but as of release 1.119 or 18, which is effectively the same, I apologize to all of you for that one, stuck the thing in. It's still not quite finished as a core library. It's one or two extensions that I have to put in, but the goal of it is very much to just be a modular framework into which we can plug additional plot types so that people can tack them on very easily. Its goal is just supply enough of a framework for that, all that to hang together easily and communicate off to Gnumeric and to other things. So the source code actually lives outside of Gnumeric conceptually. I stuck it in cut and paste for now, even though that's actually the only place it lives. But after I get 1.2 out, other parts of Gnumeric, basically anything that this library depends on, will get sucked into it and pulled out separately. And the core of it is a non-GUI glib-style, GSF-style, nice, lightweight charting library with the goal of it being useful to other people. And layered on top of that is a libart renderer that goes out to a Foo canvas, but you can just as easily pump that out and export to PNG. My goal is to have additional renderers. I've got one that goes to GNOME Print now, but to tack on another one that will go to SVG and to move forward in that direction. When designing it, I really wanted it to just be something that would be the framework for laying out charts, not something that hard-coded the actual structure of the charts in any particular way, because there are just too many different plot types to be useful. So I threw up a couple samples here just to give you a little bit of a feel for these things, where I'm declaring a new family of plots that comes up in, for those of you who have seen the first page of the Excel charting guru, up pops a little, you can have a bar chart, a column chart. I think I have a snapshot of it later. That just declares a major category. And then you can declare subcategories. And all this is handled nicely in XML. You just declare it there. It's completely a plugin. All of it's a separate directory, and you can modularly add them as you go along. Within the plot, you have to describe a little bit about it. The first segment in the XML, you want to know presentation-y stuff, but you don't actually want to have to load the plugin unless you're really, really going to use it. Once you're using it, I then had to describe what the different dimensions of the plot would be like, and I cheated a little bit. You'll notice at the end there is GOG, Gnome Office Graphs, M_MS things. Those are magic hooks to make my life easier when importing and exporting from Excel. It just seemed like an easier thing to do. So what do we offer in the new engine? First of all, although Guppy had all sorts of really incredible tools in it, because I was using such an obnoxious narrow interface on top of it, I didn't get to use any of it. So despite the fact that there are bits and pieces still to be done in this charting engine, it already provides a lot more than the 1.0 engine had, particularly in the way it interacts with data. I've got an abstract interface to it so that GNUmeric has its particular data sources, and people who are going to use the library that aren't GNUmeric will easily be able to tack on other things appropriate to them in some abstract way. You can even tack on functions within the data sources, so you can just say, evaluate this function over this range of values, and it'll sample it for you as necessary. It also has a lot more work on it for the key navigability and accessibility support within the guru so that people can really move around and do things, whereas in 1.0 the main goal was just get Bonobo to display something, please God. Another area where I'm finally getting to enjoy myself a little bit here is, to date in GNUmeric, I'm very much constrained by Excel. It is by far and away the competitor, and for every other feature, they've done a pretty credible job, modulo some bizarre corner cases. Everyone's used to what they do, and it works pretty well. Except when you get to their charting engine, where it's just an abysmal nightmare of right-click on it somewhere and pray you get the right context menu, and then search for the tab in the field of other tabs for the sub-tab that you need. So I got to finally start moving beyond the Excel model in non-trivial ways and started being able to look at something a little more useful. I don't know how well this is going to turn out. We'll see if the usability folk like it or not. It'll be interesting to see. While we were busy working on the charts and we were already really late, I figured I may as well discuss a little bit of the stuff that we put into GNUmeric in the meantime while we were sitting waiting for all these other bits to get finished. So I sat down, looked through the news file, which is really large, and realized that I was having trouble getting it down to less than 60 really significant features. So I'll just kind of run through them fairly quickly and break them into smaller chunks, but we've really come quite a long way as a spreadsheet. Adding simple things like auto filters, which is a simple database approach within a spreadsheet, is actually reasonably well used. Adding hyperlink support for within the document, URLs, emails, that sort of thing, with import-export from Excel. Support the use of, now this is one that's a little embarrassing. In 1.0, we supported embedding Bonobo embeddable objects into GNUmeric. And there weren't very many useful ones, except for the Guppy one that we wrote and EOG. But come 1.1, we realized that, well, it sucked to use EOG as an embeddable component because you couldn't really do all the things you needed to with it, so you may as well just use GDK Pixbuck directly. And that left zero in the way of interesting Bonobo components. So we ditched support for that and added support for being embedded. So we now have the other half of the equation. So we can now be embedded in Nautilus, which is of marginal utility to my mind, but if people would want it, okay, it's there. Couple other simple usability adjustments, protected regions, horizontal or vertical frozen panes. We supported frozen, but we'd only supported both horizontal and vertical, and people kept having to sacrifice a column or a row somewhere if they really wanted that. It meant a bunch of code adjustment, nothing major. Quite recently, we've started to really push on the GTK2.2 front and use the multi-head, multi-display stuff, and Morton, his godliness, has been just churning through the rest of GNOME, pulling out all these multi-head bugs in various places as we go. On the data side, we'll start with some of the simple tools. We've got a data merging tool, kind of like a mail merge for spreadsheets. We've got a data shuffling tool, which is actually quite interesting. It's not in Excel at all, and it's useful more from a statistical side where you're going to be doing sampling of things, and it lets you take a preset template and then walk through a set of canned data for that at regular intervals. A simple fill series tool, Excel had that. It was a couple of days to get the dialog up nice. And then somewhere where things get really interesting. GNumeric is starting to fulfill its goals, at least my goals, of being a spreadsheet platform. So the risk simulation tool is actually something you have to pay a reasonable amount of money for in Excel that we're tacking on. You can feed it a pile of parameters on just what form of Monte Carlo to be doing. And it will then plow through all of them for a given model and give you back the results. Moving from there on, we had a lot of small extensions in the evaluation engine, which are quite important, because actually OpenOffice should steal some of these, because you need a little help in a few of them. The 3D references, you guys did better, because I like the syntax so much better than Excel. But I'm kind of stuck with it, so we support it now. Yay. You can write that, and we'll parse it, and we'll evaluate the dependencies appropriately. I still have yet to get a really convincing explanation for why you'd want to use a true 3D block of data in a cell. It seemed more useful to do maybe a vector through the sheets or something like that, but if people want it. We're supporting constructed references where you can actually say, give me A1 to the results of this expression over here, which is fun. Implicit iteration is something that's just about being finished and is horrifically broken in OpenCalc. You really have to get... I'll have to forward you some test cases. Grab me afterward. It is the sickest, nastiest, most evil kludge tool in the Excel arsenal. People use this to create all sorts of things that spreadsheets were never really meant to do, but they grunch it in using this mechanism. The other ones are kind of small, useful bits. The 1904 date convention means that our Mac users can now be happy. Manual recalc is also a useful tack on. Subtotal. Yeah, subtotal is a unique and special function in the spreadsheet universe that actually depends not on the data, but also on which data is visible, which plays havoc with all sorts of things outside, but it's now fully supported. Placeholder names. For those of you who haven't seen me debugging named expressions, I hate them. I hate them with all my heart. I wish they would die and go away. They were just yet another wrinkle of irritation. And then lastly, real-time data feeds. We now have just a sample implementation in there, but I know of a couple people that have hooked it up to their proprietary feeds back in their offices and are actually pulling in things off of Reuters and Bloomberg on things. And thankfully, now that we're basically finished all the different magic hooks in the Excel evaluation engine, we can start moving past them to add some really cool stuff. I started that with dynamic dependencies. In Excel, you pretty much get two choices for an expression. You can say, this function depends only on its inputs, and when they change, it changes. Or you can say, this function is volatile, just recalculate it all the time because it's going to change. Which is very constraining. Volatile is useful for something like time, where every time you evaluate it would indeed change. But it really misses the point if you've got some expression that's going to be doing, having some stateful access to a database, or it's going to be doing something connecting to an outside world where things will change and the spreadsheet just isn't going to know about it, but the function might. So we were able to put that in, which was a nice extension. Pass the evaluation engine out into sort of the world of the spreadsheet functions and the analytics themselves. People went to town. They had a good old time. We're fairly lucky and had one of our longtime contributors who had contributed a lot of the original functions is now working at a risk management shop. So he started contributing all sorts of improvements to the solver and a couple of additional functions. Then we had a couple of statistics professors who basically tasked their students with write samples for various distributions, various statistical analysis procedures. He went off and graded them and then donated a couple of the good ones to us. So we pulled in all sorts of things that are well beyond anything Excel is even conceiving of at this point. Some new logarithmic regression routines, which are cute. And on the finance side, I've always been kind of shy of getting too much involved there for fear of violating some non-compete in my past, but we have people who were able to contribute a few things and get at least past We had a basic Black Scholes evaluation in 1.0. Adding a few more, they're nothing fantastic. These are not huge models. They're small, simple. You know, they're basically, you know, Black Scholes processes under the covers of all of it. But it's still, they're in there, and you don't have to go off and pay at risk for these things. So it's nice as a starting point. On the filter side, also, thanks to GSF, things became lots easier. So we quickly threw in a Quattro Pro, at least for, I think Quattro Pro 3 through 6 we support, or something like that, that we can get basic data out of. With the XML SACS wrappers in GSF, we quickly whipped up an OpenOffice importer. There's still stuff to put in, but we get the basics across. Lots of improvements on the Applix and the Lotus and the Plan Perfect side, where they're actually really, really usable now. Applix handles Applix 5.0, which is probably the last they're ever going to release. XBase, HTML import, export, all of those are much, much improved now. On the LaTeX side, because we've started to move to UTF-8 internals, it's really getting the crap kicked out of it, as we have to start dealing with all sorts of extended characters, dealing with the boxes on the things. It's reached the point where it's quite useful, and the LaTeX lists are generally sending people over to Gumeric now if they need things generated. Of course, our bread and butter and what really drives Gumeric adoption in a lot of places is we've now got really seamless support for Excel in and out. On the import side, we support the encrypted files and protected files. That includes sheet protection and file protection. It's a bit of a pain. I haven't added exporting encrypted files yet, because that needs even more semantic tuning, because they actually don't encrypt all of it. They dump out the encrypted data with a bogus filler value, and then they go back and fill it in with the unencrypted value, so you know how big the record is. So it takes a little to know, and that's for the record headers, and then for random bits inside the record. So you basically have to audit each and every record in an encrypted file and see which bits aren't encoded to pull them out correctly. It was a horrific pain. On the export side, 1.0 only supported Excel 95. We now support, you name it, we do it. We've got import for Excel 2 through XP, including things like, you know, tab colors, all that good stuff. On the export side, we can do single, dual stream. You know, you may as well be saving for the features that we export, it is pretty close to bit matching what Excel itself spews out. Big speed ups there, and even some support for using the Excel 2K and even the newer XML in XP. Daniel actually pointed me at snippets of it, so I was able to kind of guesstimate from there what the structure should be. And it's actually not too bad. Strangely, I actually like Excel's XML better than OpenOffice's. I felt really badly about that one. On the structural side, I've mentioned GSF, clipboard handling, transparent compression of things. It just makes life really simple for the application developer that, you know, data just comes in, it's a stream, you can get it. Obviously, the port to GTK2 and Pango. Most of the functions, Gumeric itself is getting slimmed down, so you just have the core of the application. The actual spreadsheet functions themselves and as much of the other functionality that I can get pushed out into plugins, so people really only load them on demand until when they need them. UTF-8 internally has been a lot of work, making sure the text import-export really handles different locales. And hopefully this should cut down on a lot of the bug reports of people who have multi-byte locales or have a slightly different locale from what they think they have. Using the Pango in cells is really beautiful. Someone sent me a Hebrew translation, and it just basically worked out of the box. It was impressive. There were a couple bugs in other bits of GNOME. The toolbars weren't quite being drawn right, but we're clearing through those pretty quickly. So for 2.0, I might be able to actually pull off a full right-to-left mode for the spreadsheet and do the transposition. A full model view controller split for the sheets. In 1.0, we had a model, which is the data, the view, which is the selection, and the controller, which is, you know, some abstract UI object that displays it, with the goal of having a text one eventually and someone wants to write one that's not GTK-based, why? I don't know, but they could. But I had been really lazy on the sheet side. I just had a sheet and a controller. You couldn't have different selections for the same sheet. So now we support all of that, which means that our multi-head support is now pretty useful as a shared whiteboard if we want it. Moved to Foo Canvas, ditching the GNOME canvas so that things actually are fast and generally work predictably, as opposed to the GNOME canvas. And it's actually one of the few regressions that I can see in GNOME 2, that the canvas is just not really maintained or used, and it kind of limps. It needs help. The Foo canvas, light, fast, working, good thing. Lots of changes for the packagers. One of the main things that really hurt packagers in 1.0 was Bonobo. The packagers are set up to know about, we have a library dependency, we have a file dependency. It was really hard to come up with what the right semantic for. It would be nice to have a component that handled this, and we're assuming that a component to handle this is installed. They didn't want to require EOG to be installed to run GNUmeric, because it wasn't really a requirement, it was just the suggestion. But it broke things, and no one liked it, so we just used GTK PixBuff directly. As of about 4 days ago, well, 5 days ago, GAL, gone, dead, bye-bye. That will make people very, very happy. A lot of people had trouble building the stupid thing. It was a big library that was basically a large chunk of evolution that got sucked out in little small bits of GNUmeric. And, well, evolution needed to be a nice, stable thing right about now, and I needed to fix parts of it. And GNUmeric evolution wasn't really using those bits, but we couldn't make the library unstable, so it went away. And, of course, Guppy GNUmeric, the evil child of the Guppy package that the packagers couldn't really figure out where to stick, went away. Other bits. Performance. GNUmeric 1.2. Wicked fast. I'll show you some of the things, but we turned on the micro hash dependency structure internally and started bucketing them so that it's very easy to set up large dependencies on small ranges and small dependencies on large ranges with no real problem. We've got a really aggressive expression sharing mechanism where we can actually significantly shrink the size of an Excel file that gets pulled in. Depending on how you generate it, if you take an expression and you copy it in a bunch of places in Excel, sometimes it will keep them shared and will write that out to the file. Instead of, you know, it will write the expression once and not 10,000 times. Sometimes it gets confused and it writes it 10,000 times. That is an absolute performance nightmare. So as we read it in, we actually do some hashing on things and re-merge all of them and hook them up to just one instance internally in GNUmeric for a big space saving internally. And then when we export it back out, it's shared, obviously. Surprisingly, when we were doing the performance tuning, we realized that a big chunk of the time was being spent just mallocing and freeing small chunks. So turning on some chunk allocators for the basic data structures, expression nodes, some string handling stuff, values, big speed up. From there, we got another win, just-in-time rendering and spanning. It was noticeable in GNUmeric, if you took a column and you filled the entire column, there was this palpable delay as I tried to go and render every cell and check its sizes and resize things as necessary, even though a huge majority of them were not on the screen and probably never would be. Managed to do that at the appropriate time when you display them, and life became much simpler. Unfortunately, doing that exposed a couple of the sort of the Pango slowdowns that are inherent in using a much more advanced rendering structure than we had in GNOME 1.4. So I had to add a few things on top of that to give us some motion compression so you can still scroll through those 65,000 odd rows quickly without trying to render all the chunks. One of the other things that also recently finished was XML-based import and export. So we don't have to go and construct a whole DOM tree that's four times the size of the actual internal data structures. Malloc that whole thing out, parsed it again, and then delete all of it. People were having trouble where they would have a 50 or 60 megabyte spreadsheet, and they'd go to save things, and the process would just balloon out to 300 and 400 megabytes, and it would crash. So this, much happier. I don't know if I'm going to make it the default for 1.2, but it's definitely in there and functional now. And that's
what would be the programming?
I'm not sure that I... On the export side, it's no problem, so I'm probably going to make it the default. On the import side, I handle the most recent DTD. It's because it's Sax-based, and I've got a nice GSF wrapper to make the Sax happy, it works nicely, but it's a lot easier to be flexible in the DOM implementation than in the Sax. So I'm not sure I handle all of the... If somebody has a file from numeric, you know, 049 somewhere, and you know that somebody's going to... Yeah, that's probably what I'm going to do, but I have to be sure first. Yeah. It needs more testing. And on the text import side, there was also a lot of complaints that it was trying to do... It tried to map the entire file into memory, validate all of it for locale, null terminate it, and then copy it one or two other times, and then take your, you know, potentially megabyte or so of text and display it. We don't do that anymore. Everything is nice and fast. UI side, yeah, lots of new arts, lots of higgification, key navigability. Tree view is a beautiful toy and has made lots of our dialogues much more fun. Done. So, when can I get me some of this? I'm going to try and actually release, finally. And for now, the goal is finish off the last couple little bits, and for July 1, go into feature freeze. From there, surprisingly, 1.1 is actually being used in a couple of places as the stable release. 1.119 is actually not bad. It's had a lot of the stability improvements. Everything that went into 1.0 has been going into 1.1, and most of the new code is really extensions rather than too much in the way of core adjustment. So it's actually really stable. Plus, now that we have Valgrind, life became much easier. I don't have to keep calling up Morton and saying, please, use Purify under Solaris. And he would sacrifice chickens to the rational gods and make Purify do its magic. So the goal is freeze really, really soon now. And from there, go through a very short beta period. You know, pump out releases once a week, hopefully get lots of bug feedback. And call it 1.2 for early August, that soon. Now for the core of the topic. So, Mr. Meeks bored us this morning and was explaining that, you know, we should have been at the talk, and he was, you know, really, he was very complimentary about our skills, and that they would just be so much better off if we just went off and joined the team that's winning. It does sweet stuff, and it's got lots of cool things in it. And that's true. They've had 10 years of development. Admittedly, the code shows it in places. 10-year-old C++ commented in German is daunting in places, but it's big. They got 6 million lines of code. They're a complete development platform in and of themselves. Build system, rendering, fonts, file. They've got all of GNOME and then some tacked in there. GNUmeric, it's pretty small. 300,000 lines is, you know, just WC minus L, every file we have. Approximate, I don't know, I think Michael said about 100,000. Yep.
I think Alan Kay's comments about code size, how they're trying to make small stuff even smaller and more readable and efficient, blows his sort of code size comparison out of the water, really.
Yeah, it's always trade-offs. They definitely have lots of functionality in there, so I can't fault them for it. But by the same token, they have 3 and 4 copies of some of it, where someone has forked some piece of it to add an extension, and you'll just have parallel versions of libraries in there. So there is some discrepancy to it. In GNUmeric, I'm really proud of the fact that there is only 300,000 lines. One of the main benefits to the project is it still has people like me and like Morton and several of our other contributors in kind of the old fart group of GNOME, where we know the entire damn product. It's not just some piece of it that we know. We've built the whole thing, and when a bug comes up or a problem comes in, we can fix it fast, or we can make the architectural changes necessary that when we realize that we've come to the end of some piece of our architecture, we can go back and fix the internals. Whereas when you got 6 million lines, that feels a lot harder. The downside, of course, with GNUmeric is, well, it's not integrated with anything yet. Abbey Word uses some similar widgets in places, and they use GNOME and GTK. And there are things that are related, but none of us really interoperate terribly smoothly, and we have to improve on that, but we're moving towards it. However, I think the key question for me is not, why wouldn't I join the winning team? The question is, what defines winning? What was my goal in all of this? And my goal is to build the best damn spreadsheet that is out there so that I can get some work done. And I think Numeric is going to have a better spreadsheet than OpenOffice is in a shorter period of time. It's that simple. And that is why we continue to develop on Numeric and why people keep using it, as far as I can tell. So, that now that I gave you the short, simple answer, you can grill me on it in a second if we have time. Stuff for the future. For 2.0, I would also like to do this, fateful words, I'd like to do this in a short 6-month turnaround time. but this time around, I think I might actually be able to hold to that, because we're just tacking bits on without having to switch to whole new toolkits or write massive extensions. The main things that are missing in terms of key bullet points that people lambaste us for, scripting, I just have not wanted to work on that to date because it needs to be done right. And there just wasn't time to do it right up till now. So, once 1.2 is out the door and we can start looking at things in a little more depth and there's time for it, that's at the top. Pivot tables. There is a certain class of people that use pivot tables and they swear by their pointy-headed bossednesses that they're the greatest thing since sliced bread and I have to have them, so we will. Conditional formats, they're kind of useful for people doing certain classes of problems. I don't like at all the way Excel implemented them, so I've got some extensions in mind that will tack on. Rather than just having 3 potential conditions that you can use, I actually want to be able to have a calculated format, not just a conditional format, where you could say, do a lookup and get me the color to use in this cell. And of course, things like increased collaboration with all the different Office apps out there, especially AbbeyWord. It'd be very good to start supporting cross-embeddability between the two of us, start merging a few more chunks of code down into the soon-to-be-built libgnome office, more stuff in libgsf. The less stuff that we each have to duplicate, the better off we are. And, of course, I kind of wrote this at about 2:30 yesterday and left off accessibility. If Bill's here, I'm sorry. Yes, accessibility will happen, I promise. And that's it for this section. I can do some demo-y stuff and take some questions. Yep.
One question maybe to you, but why didn't you use SVG as a native format for dragging graphs?
I thought about it. I need to render it too fast. I've got a rendering architecture that can generate SVG, or at least I hope it can. But for now, I need to be able to composite it on fairly quickly, and it just seemed easier for me to render directly to a pix buff through libart than have to go generate the text for SVG and then feed that to RSVG that was essentially going to use the same library to do the same things.
Yeah. Did it make it easier for us to, for instance, export graphs to Polony or whatever?
Not really. I'll point you at the code later on, but the size of one of these rendering backends is pretty small, and it's a very, very small subset. Of the SVG requirements. So it's easy for me to generate the SVG given the minimal set of inputs that go into the rendering framework. It wouldn't have bought me a lot. I did think about it. Heck, I even thought of using libcoin to see if I could get a full 3D visualization framework so I could compete on the radiosity side with Sun, but that just, I'm just going to skip 3D charting for a little while. It didn't seem all that important for the time being.
Any plans to support any other platforms like Widowing and Abbeyworld?
I would love to. The simple answer is I need a platform developer to help push it along. I'm taking a little bit different approach than the AbbeyWord. I'm not ready to go to a full cross-platform re-implementation of my UI layer. So I'm just going to say, let's make GTK on platform blah good enough that it will run. I'm actually within spitting distance of being able to get a Win32 port of stuff. I've gotten as far as installing all the main Win32 tools on my box and start doing cross-builds. Now that GAL is gone, there's one and a half dependencies left that constrain it. LibGSF has already been tested in used there. But the two that are, one and a half that are outstanding would be libgnome. I still use libgnome UI to generate the toolbars. I also use Bonobo as an option, but that doesn't help. The goal is to get rid of Bonobo because it's never in its conceivable future going to run a Win32. So I need to jump over to Egg Toolbar, Egg Menu, and that goes away, making all of libgnome optional. And then there's gconf, which is pretty minimal and will get just buried. And when running under Win32 or places where gconf doesn't run, you just won't get to use anything other than the defaults. But if someone wants to help, all I need is a developer on the platform to just start compiling the thing, to get the build scripts building and find the extra flags and the things needed on each of them. GTK is in a lot of spots. If it's too, like, GTK on OS X is a little premature, given that, like, there's the 1.2 port, and it just, it's not quite ready, would be my gut feel, but the Win32 side is ready to go. Next? Liam, you had a question?
Was in comments on 16.1, you mentioned non-composition agreements.
Yeah.
And if that was signed in Ontario?
No.
Or in Canada, actually, anywhere in Canada?
No.
Okay, they're actually not binding in Canada.
Okay. Nice to know that the...
Someone who can give you legal advice on that.
Okay. I figured at this point it just seemed better to be...
Charging, so.
Yeah, better to be safe than sorry. I think they expire in about... They expire like January, so I'm not too worried about it. I've got other things on my plate.
And they're illegal in Canada, so.
Oh, beautiful.
Not only not binding, they're actually actively.
Are you sure?
Quite sure.
Some friend of mine was given a significant amount of money to not compete with the company that he was leaving.
That's a separate. If you want to bribe someone, that's a separate issue.
Ah, okay. Cool.
In other words, the legal contracts of employers often make you sign saying within 5 years you can't work on this. Those things are illegal. Not legally enforceable.
This is good to know. Okay.
Yeah. But the more serious thing is that on Michael Minx's point, and yeah, we should all join the biggest and older project. And if you agree with that, I think we should all stop working on GTK and work with Qt. Right. It seems to me to be the logical conclusion.
Exactly.
Or perhaps we should all work with Xt or Xaw. Windows has been going for 20 years.
Yeah.
Right.
So
carry on.
Yeah. We had a colorful discussion with Michael this morning, and he's always a thoughtful, considered individual who has thought about what he wants. He had been a significant contributor to GNUmeric, and in some instances, it is the right. I'm not going to say OpenOffice is the wrong choice in all places. For a company like Symian or like Red Hat, where people are conditioned to need an office suite, there's a check mark somewhere, office suite, and they think that, by God, these things have to integrate. I need to be able to paste a presentation into a spreadsheet that goes in a Word document. That this it's definitely important to all of them, and then an update in real time. And of course, none of this actually ever quite works in practice, and no one really bothers. So I've never been enamored of it, but for someone an organization that has to ship an office suite and they have to do it now, OpenOffice is the right choice. I can't say I wasn't tremendously envious to watch a year and a half of Meeks and Federico time, two really gifted hackers, a year and a half full-time development plus art dudes working till their hair exploded to make Symian desktop.
Until we saw icons in our dreams.
They've done amazing work. If you load XD2 and pull up Star Office, Open Office, Symian Edition, it is not but ugly anymore. The damn thing looks lovely. I still hate it as a spreadsheet, but it's gorgeous. But it comes back to what, at least for me and the people who are contributing to GNUmeric now, our goal is to produce the best spreadsheet that we can. And for that, I've looked at the OpenOffice code, I've looked at the KOffice code, and I think GNUmeric is going to give us something that is feature parity with Excel for the major stuff sooner. And hopefully taking names. Names that will eventually be able to pay for that, but we'll get there. Yeah. Daniel.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You're to the point where you need to specialize to
target the specialist market. I think the people who are running in the industry you were before. That also means that probably when you say extending collaboration with over, I think with over project in the mathematical domain.
Yeah.
I think that's the
well, in the mathematical domain, we've already got a significant amount of collaboration with things with R. With GGobi, we've been looking at it a little bit. Someone, to me, did one of the most amazing hacks I've ever seen, where without being on the numeric list, as far as I know, without ever contacting me at all to ask any questions or anything on the list, managed to build plugins from GNUmeric to R and GGobi, and just kept them working for months. Someone eventually pointed me off at them, and I was completely astounded that someone had managed to follow all of my circuitous interface changes within GNUmeric, because none of this was really being exported yet, or there was no notion of an external API, and he just managed to follow along and keep these things working. So, yeah, there's already a fair amount of that. Hopefully we'll get more as time goes on. We've borrowed code from the GSL, GNU Scientific Library. We've got the two solvers, there's the GNU linear programming.
Linear programming, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and LP solves is also, it's definitely, I think that's GPL rather than LGPL, whereas I think the GNU linear programming is LGPL and the LP solve is GPL or something like that, but it's, we're pulling it in where we can, and our code is, hopefully more and more of it's going to be part of other libraries anyway, so they'll get to use it.
I think the point is in 2.0 to actually have an API where basically any evaluation system can be plugged in. Is that possible, or is that just too far?
That will never happen.
Some of the servers, no.
Yeah, this came up with, early in GNUmeric's development, Miguel had the brilliant idea that what we should really be using is optionally using multiple precision libraries so that we can do arbitrary precision calculations, which was a lovely thought as long as you're doing algebra. The reality is that there are 450 plus functions in GNUmeric, and these are not, they range from really simple functions, if, up to, 500 and 600 lines of C code that are doing Newton-Raphson range searches through multidimensional spaces. And you're not going to be writing that in multidimensional, multi-precision math libraries. The statistics stuff that we're pulling in from R, they've had 10 years and lots of stuff pulled out of the numerics libraries that you're pretty much hard-coded. You're going to use whatever representation they have. We can tack on as functions other evaluation engines. So you can conceivably say, if somebody has installed an R plugin, for instance, you could conceivably write an R expression and get the result back into a spreadsheet cell. Or the other way around, you can take a numeric, have it evaluate something, and give it to R. But to plug out the evaluation system as a whole, it wouldn't really work.
Not the evaluation, but basically what. Sometimes you have big matrix in calculation that you can only work on exposing the thing to an API and getting back the result.
Oh, but that's just a function. That's just a function. That's part of the reasons I added the dynamic dependency stuff and some of the other hooks. So, like for instance, a real-time data feed is basically, in some senses, depending on how you want to use it, one of the interfaces to it is basically just a spreadsheet function that says, get real-time data from such and such and this data. And in the implementation of that function is where it does all the magic that goes and monitors the updates of things and deals with those hooks. So that can get handled very modularly outside of the core of GNUmeric. I don't have to deal with it. Or at least if I've given them enough power, they can deal with it without impacting the core.
Well, first, I just want to make a comment. The Free Software Foundation depends completely on GNUmeric for all our financials, all our filings for Form 990 with the IRS, all our presentations to the board. So anything financial is done in GNUmeric. So, first of all, the episode, thanks you so much.
I'm a lot more relaxed about that now. two or three years ago, we started getting bug reports around April-ish. And I started to really get afraid. Right, now we've had a few enough bug reports on the 1.0 series that I'm pretty sure you're probably going to get the right numbers now.
But my question was, you know, as a hacker who realized he was a manager when he spent more time doing spreadsheets than coding, I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are about how you're going to support scripting and what your approaches are going to be.
On the scripting side, it actually doesn't seem to be all that difficult. My main qualm with doing it was looking at the history of scripting within GNUmeric. There was, actually, I'm not sure the exact chronology. I think the Guile wrappers came first, then the Perl wrappers, and then the Guile got updated, and then there were Python wrappers and new Python wrappers. I think that's, the Corba wrappers went in somewhere in the middle. And up till about a year ago, I wouldn't have been able to guess which of those would become the dominant. Now it seems pretty clear that Python is kind of winning in that space, and that's where people are going. But I've been really reticent to bother working on it, because the key with the API is not which language it's in, it's what the API is. You know, selecting the right set of objects for the abstraction and some methods for manipulating them, most importantly getting the right life cycle for all of them so that people can understand it. It's something that's going to take some time, some consideration, and just sitting there and banging through it. So my goal is actually going to be pretty much language agnostic, and within the GNUmeric C API, start restricting what's publicly available, making more and more of it private, and at the same time adding a scripting.h or libgnumeric.h, and within that, exposing the subset that is going to be the scripting API, and then different languages will wrap it. I got really lucky. I got an email just before I left saying, "Oh, you're going to Guadec? I live 2 hours from there." So I'm hopefully going to meet John. Where are you? Yeah, there. Just after the meeting and talk about the Perl bindings. But adding the others don't seem like they're terribly difficult. It's just a question of coming up with an API, putting it out for public review. Is going to take 4 or 6 months to get people trying it, saying, no, this is stupid, I need to do this, this sucks, and getting a lot of iterations on it to do it right. So, one, two comes out, and then we start putting out proposals of, how about an interface that looks like this, try it out. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I think when we compare like OpenOffice and GNUmeric, I think it's something like, with OpenOffice, it's clear, like, we need to catch up with the Windows platform, so people can do their office stuff.
Yeah.
And with GNUmeric, it's like we go beyond that, like to do the right thing, to do the best spreadsheet that we can do.
That's
kind of like two different things.
Yeah. Well, the OpenOffice people, I want to be very clear that they've done a lot of really good work and there's a lot of neat stuff in it. But I think the main drawback that they labor under is, well, beyond the 10-year-old C++ in German, is really that they started off as a commercial company that needed to sell that product. And to do that, they needed to tick off all the little tick boxes that all the marketing people had. We support feature X, feature Y, which means that they had to do those features, and they had to do them quickly enough that they could do other features. And their interest was in building just enough of the feature that they could move on to something else. It wasn't cost-effective for them to do anything else. And I've actually been very disappointed at times where every time I try and lift some code or some design thoughts out of OpenCalc, when I get to a hard problem in GNUmeric and I really want to see, okay, what have other people done? I don't look at K-spread, because that is effectively a write-off. But in OpenOffice, well, they tried hard, and the K-Office libraries are a really nice idea, but they don't know what the hell spreadsheet is, and I'm glad they can spell it, and that's about the extent of it. It's, I don't mean it meanly. They work hard. It's just, it's pity. I just feel badly for them. They're at least 3 to 4 years behind GNUmeric in design terms. When they came to a difficult problem, they either didn't even understand that it was a problem or just coded the most bogus, simple solution to any of it. So the only reason it exists is because the K-Office libs have done some neat stuff for them, and they can give them a patina of having a cool app. But the spreadsheet core just doesn't survive. on the open office side, they have a lot of stuff in there. And some of the things that they've done, like Daniel Rentz has published specs for the XLS file format that clear up a lot of the things that weren't covered in the docs that Microsoft has removed from the web. That, you know, he's had some nice thoughts in there. And then perusing his code, I can find other bits of things that they tried to do. So on the filter side, there's information to find. But on the implementation side, they've definitely recognized where the hard problems were, but frequently they'll bypass them or ignore them. Classic case in point, for GNUmeric, the first thing I do when coding up any given feature that has to be Excel compatible is I go to Excel and I make big damn spreadsheet to test this thing every which way from Sunday to figure out what the hell the stupid thing does. They're all in CVS, they're all sitting there, people can run them. The first spreadsheet I wrote, operators, how hard can it be? Yeah.
I had an announcement to make that Croquet, the system that Alan Kay mentioned in his keynote talk, will be demoed in the Burk Theater at 4:15. It's already 4, so whichever way. Sorry about that.
So that's all, yeah. One quick thing I should note that I did add was I actually added a splash, Baptist pressure, and added a splash screen in version 1.1. But I hate splash screens in general, so it only gets displayed if GNUmeric takes more than about 3 seconds to display the file. So hopefully you'll never see it, but it's there. So if you really slow things down, you can usually see it. So here's the first test sheet that I wrote. It's very simple. Actually, it's lying a little bit. Let me force a recalc here because we should fail an exponent. Yep. And I went through. This isn't something that's impossible to do. It's just a big damn matrix of, for every single operator, for equals, what do you do when you say blank equals blank? Generate it. Compare it. It's not hard. And it's a lot of tests. The one test that we do fail is because we use higher precision arithmetic than Microsoft does. So a couple of our bound cases are a little different in the X significant digit. So I'm not too worried about those failures. But, it's kind of a slow laptop here. But, so here we go. I wasn't happy and wasn't willing to sign off on the implementation of operators in the evaluation engine until this thing passed everything. And this wasn't hard. It was 2 or 3 years ago, and it was in. Load the same file up in OpenOffice, and they get it about 30% right. That's inappropriate. If people are going to load files from Microsoft Excel, it's not just a question of making it look like a spreadsheet. They better bloody well get the same numbers, or if they don't, you better have a damn good reason for having a different number, know that that's why it's a different number, and give them the option of generating the broken number if that's what they want. So, a number of our functions, we have the function, and then we have the GNUmeric version of the function that actually calculates the right result. It's something that you just have to take the time to do if you want to be credible as a spreadsheet. People want to have the same results and know that they're not going to get screwed over when they import their files. And that's important to me. So I look at GNUmeric and I think that that will give people that much sooner than OpenOffice will. And we'll keep spending the time to do it. Anyone else? Okay. Oh, yeah.
This is a matter of interest. What are the two functions that are missing?
I have to go to the bugs file for that. Yeah, so as you can see, I keep a fairly concise list of what needs to be done before things are set. Functions here. Yeah, the two main ones are the year fraction and odd F yield. It's an odd first coupon calculating the yield of a set of fixed payments. There are implementations in OpenOffice, but they fail the Excel tests too, and Excel isn't terribly clear on what the hell the semantics of what their pricing are anyways, so I'm not rushing off to implement them. There's a couple of functions where it would be nice to add additional features to them anyways, so those are a much higher priority. It would be nice to add them so I can officially say that we're a superset, but if anyone's looking for projects and things, I try and build up a collection of small, easily accessible things for new developers to do when they first arrive. So there tends to be lots of smaller projects that it's not obvious why we haven't done them yet, because they're not so hard. Like doing a command line filtering interface. Someone can whip that up if they got interested. Lots of other little things like that where people can kind of pick up projects and work their way in. For anyone who's at a university, one thing that I would really like to see more of is the work from this statistics process from last year. That worked out really nicely. Numeric is a nice big application, but it's reasonably well coded and clear to get at, and it's got an active community maintaining it, and it makes a great project base for people to try things on and for students to learn on things. So, and then we can cherry pick the best results from whatever projects they happen to do and fold them back in. Everybody wins. So if anyone runs, does some things in education, needs a place to build stuff, grab me. It's all right. Okay.
Can we get a 30-second demonstration of the charting?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's... A couple things that have not been hooked up, so you'll have to bear with me on it. Actually, let's make it a little bit... Using a trackpad, irritating. So, first page, standard Excel-y, chooses something or other. Again, all this standard icons. I'd love to turn these into SVGs at some point, so they would scale nicely. But there's not all that many of them until we get more plot types right now. So I'm willing to stick with the PNGs. No rush. Now it does the standard. Put it in, give you a sample, and then we drop into the interesting bit. So up pops a chart, all instant apply for things. Just to give you a rough idea, I specifically designed this to do all the things that Excel wasn't going to ever be able to do. So you can easily add multiple charts within one object on the sheet, so that we'll eventually be able to do some nice statistical stuff whereby you select the points in one chart and it would let you highlight the things that are using a shared dimension in another, which makes things very nice for analysis. And on adding things, all this is generated from the XML. Missing an alpha channel somewhere. So let's just stack them. And add a data series. So, boom. That's more fun. But we do have some sexy stuff that we can throw in. Just do a quick gradient fill to the background, or let's see. Should be able to click on just the chart and select it. Yeah. And where's the... Yeah. Oh, I forgot to implement that. But the underlying all this is there are style specifications for all the things that tie out to a theming engine. So you can just as easily... What I needed to do here is add a notebook tab and display the style page too, but you can format the bars with gradients and put images and all that sort of stuff exactly the same way. So you can put an image in a pie slice and things like that. And then I would
pops to spreadsheet. And this is a pretty dog slow machine. It's like a P3500. So performance is pretty reasonable. I've got it all on asynchronous updates and stuff like that, so you're not going to decimate your machine. I don't know, what will be interesting. Let's see. Let's see the previews. I haven't tried gradient print previews. Ooh.
Can you snap the diagram to the cells? Just line it up with snap to the cells if you want it to?
What do you mean by snap?
Then it would just line up with the cells.
Well, like I've got key. I can move it around. You can put it wherever you want. I don't have any really a snapping mode. Well, actually, that's not entirely true. There's a bug that you can use that will make it snap. whereby, when you move the cursor, we've got auto-scroll on everything. So as you move things around, if you go down below the edge of something, it'll just auto-scroll in the right direction. But when you move the cursor out, I only get motion events on cell boundaries. So you can use that as a cheesy grid mechanism. Yeah, not what I would call perfect, but, well, it sort of solves the answer. I don't know, let's see, what else could I throw in here? I should put some legends in, I suppose. Yeah, and that's actually another slight bug. You'll notice that the actual graph updated at the same time as the preview image. I just haven't gotten around to writing the graph duplicate function. So it still operates on the primary view. Like, all this is, of course, model view split and all the rest of it, so you can have multiple views of the graph, you can freeze panes. Let's see. Oh, it's, yeah. I need to make this transparent to make this really interesting. Yeah. So with the transparent graph, oh, it's selected. You can, oh, that's stupid. You should be able to select it. Oh, but anyway, so it's like all this is completely alpha blended on right onto the sheet, so you can put data in behind the graphs if you want, and everything will just work. But if I go freeze panes, it's now, it looks like one chart right now, but what you really have there is four charts. Oops, wrong way. So you can scroll bits and pieces around and pop up multiple views. And with the multi-head stuff and the multi-display stuff, you can actually go in and say, well, I guess I don't have any other, I don't actually have any other displays around, but you can specify another display, and if people are having remote meetings, pop up GNOME meeting over here, and then fire up a GNOMeric and open some GNOMeric windows, in the other places, and all get to operate on the same spreadsheet, or at least see the same underlying data and be able to select things differently. Mm.
Jody?
Yep.
Are the graphs updated live with the values in the cells?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's kind of a requirement. I try and do all of it sort of asynchronously as necessary, so if your machine is really slow, you can just bang down through the data, and it's not going to bother redrawing until it's got the cycles to do it. So on wee little one lung machine over here that's kind of overheating, actually, it takes a while, but on the nice fast beastie at home, I can just cycle through things. And of course, all this ties back nicely back into the GNOMeric evaluation architecture, where I've got an abstract dependency structure set up whereby the graph depends on just some expression of things, and if you were to cut and paste this data and move it somewhere, the graph would notice that and everything would get updated happily. I haven't quite set it up to go the other way around, so when we start doing curve fitting and stuff on the charting side, not fitting a curve in GNOMeric and then plotting it, but actually having the chart generate the regression or whatever you're going to do the curve fit, you want to be able to pull those the fit parameters back out and use them in that cell. Yeah. And those, I don't have anything yet that notifies GNOMeric that these kinds of dependencies change. Like, the graph is essentially the same as a checkbox or a scroll bar or something like that. Actually, I don't have that demo. It's too bad. That was a cute one. Someone sent me this really cute sheet. I think I did a screenshot of it where they have, you know, bars going this way and that way, scroll bars attached to it so you can move through your data and plot different slices of it. It was really sexy. Yeah, no, I didn't get it onto this laptop because the hard disk is dying. Yeah?
Is it possible to draw curves on your graph so you fit a function to your plots?
Is it possible to draw on top of it? Yes. Is within the charting engine right now, is there any notion of data fitting, any of that? No. I just haven't gotten around to any of that stuff. Step one, first I need to get proper bounds manipulation and axis ticks and marks and stuff like that in place. I probably have another 2-3 days on it, so I need to find some time. Once that's there, then I can let... There's a couple people who are kind of chomping at the bit to write more plot types. Like, I specifically have not written the standard XY scattery plot from which stems, you know, error bars, bubbles, and all the rest of that. I didn't want to have to rework 15 sets of code when I made it, if I had to make any changes in the core. So I started with just the bare, bare simple ones for now. Sarait? Okay. Our newly Higgerific Exidy thing.